Monsieur.
Yep, and that's Dave Hussey, and that song is a little bit of Coachella Valley. And thanks for tuning in this evening to the broadcast of Between the Notes, all right, here on 88.5 KRFY. This is listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. I'm Susie Perez, your host, and we are live here in the KRFY studios. Tonight, we have a special show planned with probably the newest locally formed duo called Paranormal Daves, consisting of Dave Hussey and Dave Gunter. Welcome, Dave and Dave.
Well, thank you so much,
Susie. Thanks, Susie.
Either Dave can speak. And thanks for stopping by tonight to share your new music. We have a CD right here in front of us that we're going to be hearing some of the songs from. We call it an album. And probably a few stories about Paranormal Daves. I mean, just the name. I want to hear all about it. And I'm sure the KRFY listeners want to also.
Both of them.
Actually, probably more than you think.
All right.
So you got together, and it was so much fun, and you figured out you would let others in on the fun, and so you put together some of these tunes and now have a new CD.
We do, and it was 2 months in the studio, pretty rigorous work, I would say, for the most part. I thought I was going in there just to, you know, drink wine and talk and then play a few notes once in a while. But no, Dave made me work.
Yes, I did.
The rigors of the studio, hmm?
Yeah, it started out when we would get together to play, we would never remember what we did on a particular song. So I said, you know what? We need to record some of these so we can have something to refer to. And the darndest thing happened. They started sounding pretty good. So we hung on to them.
So it started out as a technique for memory recall, for not forgetting the song.
Actually, a technique in lieu of memory.
Okay, I got it. And you worked for a couple months, put it together. Whose studio did you work in?
In the Bridges Home studio.
Oh, that's right. How nice is that? So tell us about this name, the Paranormal Daves, because I always just called you the Daves.
Yeah, there were a lot of names floating around there for a while.
Right. People have been calling us names for years. Well, a year ago, we were the Daves Are Us. Or not the, but just Daves Are Us. And but it just didn't quite have that punch we were looking for in the name. So we got our focus group together, which was Dave and Dave. And decided that, we come up with another name. And so eventually Paranormal Daves just kind of fell out of the sky.
That was yours. We had I'm With Dave. That was another one.
I'm Not With Dave was
the But the, Paranormal Daves.
What I know for sure is you probably have had a lot of fun since the first time you sat down together. And that's part of what music's all about is not just producing something, but having fun. And for you guys, I know that's really true. And I remember when the Daves Are Us came up to the station here and you brought all your instruments. Tonight, you didn't do that. You just wanted to sit and chat a bit about your new songs. And we have them all cued into our little thing here. So,
well, let's hear one, doggone it.
Okay, we'll just start out right now. It sounds like a good idea.
Do you want to give you a little lead-in on this one?
Yes, please. Right.
Who could you say no after that? Yeah. This first tune, the tune that actually leads off the CD, is written by a friend of, I consider him a friend. We met him once and took a class from him, Tammy and I did, on the island of Molokai. And his name is John Keawe. And he's a prodigiously talented slack key guitar player and composer who lives on the big island, Kona side. And as a student of Hawaiian music and slack key guitar music, I became absolutely smitten with John's take on slack key guitar. I think there's none better out there. And this first tune is called Mama's Music Box.
Well, we're so lucky to be able to hear it tonight. And here it is, Paranormal Dave's Mama's Music Box. And by the way, does your new CD have a title?
Paranormal Dave's.
Okay. And here it is, Mama's Music Box. That was the Paranormal Dave's Mama's Music Box. That was stunning. And you let it off this evening because it must be a real special song to you. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about how that came about? That was gorgeous.
Well, a year ago, Dave and I, the two of us, went to a blues guitar camp outside of Portland, Oregon. And at the end of the week, they had a talent night, I guess you'd call it, where the all of the people, there were probably, I don't know, 40 or 50 guitar players who were all there to play blues guitar. We had just started working on this song just about right then.
Mm-hmm.
And so unbeknownst to me, Dave signed us both up for that song as Dave's R Us. And so we played and practiced and practiced and practiced on the song.
Obsessively, as I recall.
Obsessively practiced. And then the night of the performance, we were hanging out in our domicile and
obsessively practicing.
Practicing and waiting for our turn. And one of the other musicians came running up the hill to where we were and said, "You guys are on next." And it was like, I guess we're having too much fun here. So so we ultimately went down, and that was our first live performance. And it was really fun. And
I'm sure people loved it.
Well, it was a musician crowd, you know. Mm-hmm. You never know.
Appreciative group.
And it was fun because it was sort of outside of what everyone else was doing. So to be able to pull out John Calvey's tune and share it with the group was a lot of fun. We actually have two of John's songs on the CD.
Nice.
And
one of the things I noticed about that song, just listening to it here in the studio, is how the two guitars meshed together. I'm imagining that was two guitars, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just how it's almost like they were dancing, because one kind of was leading, but the other was sort of moving around the notes quite well. And so that must be sort of what you're experiencing as you have formed your duo.
Well, I think if you've ever taken dance lessons, the first thing you learn is how many times you're going to step on somebody's toes and how sorry you are. And the equivalent of that was all of the times I stepped on the notes of the song as we were learning it. And it was like, oh, I got to quit stepping on Dave's toes here and let the song breathe and just move around kind of in the background more. And eventually I found that place, but it did take a while.
Well, my experience and the way it came together was probably kinder to Dave Hussey was being to himself, because I was impressed from the get-go with what he was doing, as I have been in this creative enterprise that we have going. And you know, Dave is super intuitive and unflaggingly creative, and so it's fun to be around that energy for me, because I kind of work on things and chisel away on the block of marble, and then that's my MO. And Dave is kind of like, hey, let's try this. So I've learned a lot about being a courageous musician from hanging out with this guy.
So there's benefits in any musical endeavor or any musical project, as they call it now, outside of and in addition to the musical results. You know, getting to know yourself, getting to know the other person, learning to collaborate and dance, I guess you might say.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it's, I got to get closer to the mic here, sorry.
That's good.
Use your radio voice, Dave.
I have to go down one whole octave here for this. The thing I was losing my train of thought on as we're dealing with the semantics of radio is that this whole process is something for me that I learn about the importance of structure and how that structure is something that, as a free spirit creative, you know, that's the first thing that goes out the window when I think of something musically. It's like, oh, this is going to, it's going to have all of this, and it's going to have all of that, and it's going to be this and that. It's like, well, yeah, how do you fit that into an actual structure and then be able to recreate it and perform it again? So a lot of things that I've done in the past, I've recorded, and then it's like, oh, I don't know if I can play that again, because it was completely, you know, off the top of my head. And so at any rate, so I'm greatly indebted to Mr. Gunter for showing me the...
He holds the bottom line, kind of. Well, as having a recording studio in your home, and you've been doing this for a while too, Dave Gunter, and you're a teacher also.
Yeah, structure, I think it's one of the few places in my life in which I am structured, I think. But that was a big conversation Dave and I had early on. I said, dude, you are a font of endless, innovative musical ideas. Pick something and let's say which ones we're going to use. Let's put them in an order so I know where you're going and when. And it was more self-preservation on my behalf than anything else.
Well, there's that fine line between organizing and, as you say, innovation. And I think you've probably found the perfect line to walk with each other. And you can exchange those ideas pretty clearly. That song, again, was written by...
John Keawe, K-E-A-V-E. John has won the Hawaiian equivalent of the Grammy Award. He's just a phenomenal musician and artist and a very, very cool man. And I have this big fantasy. I wrote John and said, hey, see if you can live stream or if there's a playback, listen back to it. So, John, if you're listening, here's my Hawaiian fantasy. I've told Tammy this a million times. Love to go to the Big Island for at least 10 days, get a sweet little place on the beach, and have a slacky guitar lesson with John every day I'm there.
That's your dream.
That's my dream, man. I would love to do that. I would just be in paradise, literally and figuratively.
It's really good to know what we want sometimes. And if John Keawe is listening out there in Hawaii, which you can stream us at krfy.org. There you go. You know Dave Gunter's dream. And also, we will be posting this interview on our website, krfy.org, under podcasts on the right-hand side, under Between the Notes.
And I should mention that my GoFundMe site for my Hawaiian dream.
And where are you at right now with that GoFundMe?
We have $1.98 so far.
I have $1.98 that I put in myself.
To start, you have to put something in.
We call that seed money.
Feed the kitty, baby.
Well, I think in all this fun that you guys are having, one question is, who writes the songs?
I write the songs that make the... Oh, no, that was Barry Manilow.
Yeah.
We both do. Dave, in this incarnation, Dave, more than I... I think our next tune is one of yours, isn't it?
Well, let's talk about that then. And let's hear it pretty soon.
What is the next tune?
Oh, Windshield in the Rain.
Oh, no, that's one of Dave's.
That's one of mine.
That's
one of my few tunes on the CD.
I can switch them around.
Let's go ahead, let's go ahead and
hit
it.
We love that song. It's a beautiful song.
Yeah. So tell us about it, Dave Gunter.
It started out as a sort of an annoying little musical joke. There's a little guitar riff that sounds kind of like a windshield, and I had made up some words at one point, and I would sing them like a Graham Nash. I said, this would be a great Graham Nash song, but I only got about four lines into it. But I always liked the musical motif. And Dave and I sat down, and as always happens, I said, well, I have kind of an idea that's been kicking around. And he picked up a guitar and started playing very cool stuff along with it. And that's how Windshield in the Rain finished out.
Well, let's hear it. You ready?
Okay. We're ready.
This is Windshield in the Rain by the Paranormal Daves.
Thank you.
And that was Paranormal Dave's Windshield in the Rain. And they are here with us live in the KRFY studios for a live interview talking about their new CD called Paranormal Dave's. And that was a beautiful song.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a fun one. We talked earlier about before we were on the air about some of the musical jokes that we've slipped in to some of the tunes, and the next one, one of Dave's tunes, it had no name, and for a while there was called known as the song that shall not be named.
That's right.
And but then I think Marilyn didn't like that title very much.
She insisted that it had to have a name.
Had to have a name.
Yeah.
And so one of the things I slipped in was I teach ukulele, and I have this little riff I like to show students that they can use on John Lennon's Imagine. It's kind of a trying to sound like his piano part on the top of Imagine. And Dave was playing this song, and I thought, that just works. I'm going to just slide it in, see if anyone notices. It's it was kind of a nod and a wink between the two of us. And then the song ended up being called Imaginary Friend after that, because the allusion to Imagine.
Exactly.
Right. Okay, so that's how sometimes things come about. You need a name for a song, and you just figure it out. Imaginary Friend. Do you want to hear it?
I'd say yes.
Is it guitars again, or is there a ukulele
in it? This one is guitar and ukulele, yeah.
Ukulele.
It's got...
intro of the ukulele.
Intro on the ukulele.
Okay, let's see if we can hear that imaginary riff.
Just start singing, imagine there's no heaven. Right at the beginning, when you hear the ukulele, you're in.
Okay, here we go. The Paranormal Dave's new song, Imaginary Friend. That was Imaginary Friend by the Paranormal Daves, and we're listening to their newest album and their first album, pre-recorded here. I mean, we're listening to their CDs, so. And they are live here in the studios. And you know what I was noticing in that song? I was just hearing all this different, almost like thoughts or feelings and movement and different kind of ideas. So where does an idea for a song come from when you're, or a composition in this case, where does it start? I mean, because they're so varied and different. And of course, the never-ending question, is there a limit out there in the world of songs? I know the answer is no, but it's just amazing to me where they come from. So what is your take on that? I know you had a theory, Dave.
Dave number one.
Dave Hussey.
Or am I Dave number two?
You're number one.
All right. Well,
you're number one.
Number one in my book. Well, I mean, this is a multi-part answer to that because there's several different parts of the interaction that take place. And one is, you know, the initial idea of something that has some sort of melodic sensibility that then we share, and then the structure starts to develop around the original idea, I think. And I think that, you know, it's almost like in our DNA exists all of these different sort of ideas for rhythm. And it's not like we're exposed constantly to music. And so we have everything we've ever been exposed to becomes a part of our DNA. And then whatever else is our ancestral DNA also has that same sense of, you know, you create sounds and feelings based upon all the history of humanity that is in you that flows into the, you know, into the present moment through a song. And it's not like it's a big deal. It just happens to be that's what we've all got it. It's in every one of us. And every one of us has that potential, that capability. That's kind of what I see is. And then there's a part in this particular song where I'm just playing along, minding my own business on my part of the song. And Dave Gunter here starts playing this contrapuntal rhythm on the ukulele, and it's just like, wow, it just transported me and my part of the song into a different sort of reality, and it's a delight when you find that.
That's been one of the most enjoyable aspects of playing music with Dave Hussey, is that I think we both have big ears. We both really listen to what the other person is doing. And there have been a lot of surprises for me when I'm playing something and I know what I'm going to play or how I think it should go. And then Dave adds to the conversation with something that then takes it maybe in another direction thematically or energetically. And it's a fun ride.
Sometimes for better or worse, I guess, but it's always fun.
Sometimes it's a fun house.
So it all started when you went to that workshop over near Portland.
Right, right.
And you picked out this song and you practiced and then you performed it and have just been doing this for the last year or two.
About a year. We noodled around a bit together before the blues guitar camp. But it always seemed to be, you know, there might be something here. I know we both knew we enjoyed hanging out together. And if that was sort of the end all and be all for a while, let's get together and see if we
you
can
liked
make something
each other's
happen.
Names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were easy to remember.
That's the only reason we did it.
And Dave Hussey, when you were talking about that universal, almost like it's in your DNA, you know, all around this globe, this spinning planet through space, people have music. It's the one, possibly besides language, the universal thing that connects all people in different ways, because you can go to different areas of the world and hear almost foreign music, but it still touches you and you understand it on a certain level. So
that is so true. And I was recently traveling in Spain and Portugal. And the thing I think that transcends language is music. And it goes right to the heart. And that's something that language is very difficult to navigate in that direction. You can get there, but it's not the same as that type of energy that you can share musically.
Well, and as a musician, and I've experienced this a couple of times, you can run into somebody and not be able to speak the language, but you can play a song together and look into each other's eyes and say, okay, we're communicating here at a deep soul level, which would never happen in 3 minutes of trying to do balkily, you know, stumble your way through a foreign language, or at least the way I stumbled through them.
That's right. I was just thinking about my son was down in South America in Peru and met up with some folks from Argentina, and they had guitars and they all played together and said, let's go to Argentina and form a band, bring my son with them. So yeah, it does transcend cultures and language and all kinds of barriers. And I also think that it brings a heck of a lot of joy to our world in so many different ways. It can be the words, but in your case, it's instrumental compositions that really, I've often thought that this kind of music, you can be a partner in that music because of your interpretation. The words can get in the way. And in this case, it's my own interpretation, my own feeling from that song without the words. I can interpret it in my own way. So there you go.
Love it.
Yeah. You want to hear another song and tell us about this song? It's Charlie Packard's.
Charlie's Packard?
Charlie's Packard.
Another one of Dave's.
Well, Dave, we've both had been good friends of Charlie's for many years. Dave here many more years than me. But I grew pretty close to him in his latter years. So before he was ill for a number of months or a couple of years before he passed, and I'd written this song for him while he was still alive because I thought it was more important for him to hear it than to play it later when it would have less meaning for me and he wouldn't hear it. So this was not based musically on anything that Charlie's ever done, but just something that it was a feeling that I felt from being around Charlie and appreciating him and his music. And Dave's banjo playing adds this really cool dimension to it that just makes it a really interesting piece in my mind. So Charlie's Packard.
Before we hear it, I was going to ask, what was his reaction when he heard you play it?
Charlie is such a magnanimous and was such a magnanimous person. And he said, Dave, I think you got something there. I can hear the lyrics weaving through the melody. And that's what he said. And it was like, well, thanks. So I'll spend the rest of my life learning how to write lyrics so I can do it justice.
That's beautiful. And this is Charlie's Packard by the Paranormal Daves. Thank you. was Charlie's Packard, performed by the Paranormal Daves off their new CD. And I did it.
That was pretty too.
Yeah, and we're going to hear that next, actually. So, anyways, that was Charlie's Packard off the new CD with the Paranormal Daves. That's Dave Hussey and Dave Gunter, who are here with me in the studios of KRFY, and we're talking about music. And I'm hearing, so we know there's a banjo. And Dave Hussey, you play strictly guitar?
And he plays guitar strictly.
Strictly.
Strictly, now that you are organized in your guitar playing. And Dave Gunter, you play a variety of instruments. How do you pick and choose what goes into which song?
You know, that's a fun question. And Dave brings on guitar, as a composer and as an instrumentalist, an ability to add a lot of depth, a lot of dimension to the work, just by dint of the fact of the way he plays and the way he thinks. I tend to cast about for sounds. I think a lot of that came with being a Beatles fan as a kid, when the Beatles went from just being a two guitar bass drums band to, hey, what if we have a sitar? What if we have tablas? What if we have a horn section? All of that stuff that made the Beatles sort of blossom from the Revolver album right on
to
through.
Sgt. Pepper.
Yep, to Sgt. Pepper. They were very experimental, and what I took away from that was there are really no boundaries. Anything that works, works. And sometimes it's an unlikely addition, but I'm always listening in this musical context for what I might be able to add texturally as well as musically. And when I heard Charlie's Packard, I just heard this, and knowing Charlie for a lot of years, I just thought, you know, it needs a down-home, kind of a lopey, country, not gussied up, straight across the plate kind of a sound. And that old-time banjo style that I like just kind of fit right in.
It really did, yeah. And made it what it is today.
Another musical joke in that one, too.
Okay.
My little riff was borrowed from, inspired by the riff from the tune Classical Gas, played on the banjo. I didn't realize until I was playing it along with Dave, because his part isn't that at all, and I realized, wow, this sounds like Classical Gas in a weird meter in a different key.
We'd like to thank Mason Williams for that inspiration.
Yes, thank you, Mason. Please don't sue us.
I don't think that's going to be a problem. When you were talking about all the different ways that you bring in influence, how long does it take before you say this song is done? Obviously, you're bringing the thoughts. You've got a little melodic thought going on, and one of you brings it, and then you start playing with it and listening to each other. And form, you know, putting structure to it. And
how does that work?
Yeah, how does that work?
Well, some songs we just, frankly, I think we run out of ideas for that, or the energy to bring more ideas to a particular song. And other ones, we've got more ideas than there's space for, so we have to cut that down to a reasonable amount of time. But so I think it's, you know, both ways. I think sometimes we really see that the song completion is in its simplicity and shortness, and it's a minute and 48 seconds long or whatever, and that's enough because it doesn't need any other expression. But sometimes I think it feels like you can play a particular type of song or melody, and it just seems like it almost could never end. And there's particular songs that in the privacy of my own home, I will play over and over and over and over. And it doesn't seem like, you know, I would ever get tired of playing it. So that's the long answer to a short question.
I think part of it was connected to the mechanics of recording, too. We made a, if not a pact, at least a decision early on when we realized that this was going to turn into a project, to get together and keep an edge there, to keep a humanity in the sound, and we would sit down and we would play through something and kind of make the mistakes and say, okay, well, what if we play the bridge again? And once, as soon as it felt like it was fully formed or even close to that, we would push record and start doing takes of the tune. So it was a bit of a high wire act in that way, because we would look at each other for cues on, is it the B section next, or we go back to the A section? Is this where we do the bridge? What's next? So there was an adrenaline rush throughout the entire recording process.
It sounds like you had to keep a little bit of awareness going so that you kept it out of the realm of being a jam. So that it became a composition with a beginning and an end. And then having the intuition or the feeling that when it was ready and when it was done and kind of the parameters, so to speak, of the different sections of the song.
Yeah. I think, you know, a jam is fun when you're sitting around with a group of friends and you're jamming. To record that and listen back to it sometimes is just mind-numbingly boring. Just as playing something so often and having it so ironclad that you're playing it by rote and there's never any life breathed into it can be very boring too. This was the middle way. This was the, this was real life human music, no sampling.
Kind of that fine line again, or walking the narrow line, but being able to identify that and see it is your creation. That's part of your creative endeavor, knowing.
I think like anything, it's you create writing, music, whatever it is in the creative sense. There's the part of learning to let go. You know, in writing, the best writers throw away 90% of what they write because they're constantly self-editing. And I think that that's the same in music too, is that there's a lot of ideas that are just like, oh yeah, that's a nice idea, but it's, you know, we're not going to record that, and because it only has merit in the moment and not, it doesn't feel like it has something that will sustain.
It's kind of that interesting point in time where you decide we're actually going to record these songs. You can have fun and just play them together and turn them into a composition, but then you decide to record them. That's what we have here. Your compilation of creative energy on a CD.
It was something I certainly wanted to bring Dave out into the light. I had been a fan for a long time. I still have two of his CDs of instrumental music that he turned me on to years ago. And I thought, holy smokes, this guy he just goes places that frankly I had been afraid to explore. And he's a pretty fearless musician, and I really admire that.
I didn't know any better.
How do you like all that praise, Dave Hussey?
Heap it on.
it's a good thing. Well, I think we should hear another song. I started playing it by accident, but it's A Moment in Time. Anybody want to talk about that just for a moment?
Another ukulele guitar.
Okay.
Pairing.
This is one that I'd written and brought to Dave, and he says, oh, yeah, I think this would fit with the ukulele, and this is what it is.
And here it is. A Moment in Time, performed by the Paranormal Daves, right here at 88.5 KRFY. Thank you. Okay, that was A Moment in Time by the Paranormal Daves. And what do we want to say next about what's coming up? I wanted to quickly get in, how does someone get a hold of your CD? Are you going to have a CD release party? And do you play around town with all the other great musicians that play here and there? Are you planning to start that process?
Well, that's a lot of questions.
I know, there's three of them. I think
there's 17 more.
And there's two of you, so divvy them up. So first of all, the album, and then...
I don't know how someone would get a hold of one of our CDs at this point. I think we're going to put together a limited edition or a few of them.
I think people would really love to get a hold of them. This is beautiful music.
Thank you.
And I always think, what does the artist want the listener to get from their music? It's very beautiful. It's different. Each song is very different. It has such depth to it. As we were talking while that song was playing, it just weaves around and it flows down the notes, and it's very has a lot of movement to it.
I think we are planning a CD, if not a CD release party, sort of a
CD party.
Yes, CD celebration party.
Yeah, even if it's not released.
Playing live.
Maybe it's a CD captive party. As opposed to a release party.
Yeah. Okay, so that we can look forward to that. You can let us know, and we'll let people know. If you want it to be an open thing, you might want to just do a house concert kind of thing.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, mm-hmm. because I think that would be the perfect venue for what we do, actually. It's nuanced music. It's not as powerful, certainly, as what I do in Bridges Home. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's not vocal music and three-part vocals and percussion and bass. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Bridges Home has now got a pretty big sound. This maybe wouldn't lend itself as well to some of the usual watering hole venues, but certainly a house concert would be great. So if you've got a house concert you want to put on, the Paranormal Daves stand ready to serve.
To serve and obey.
To serve and obey.
Well, we have another song queued up, and we want to get this one and then a going out song. This is Gypsy Summer. And Dave Hussey, you wanted to say something about this.
Oh, this song was so fun to do because I had an idea based on quite a few different ideas I'd been playing with. And I brought it to Dave and said, Where's the rest of the song? I only brought this much, and, you know, I didn't have a whole song. And so he had some really great ideas, and we fleshed out the progression so it sounded like it was an entire piece of music and not just a fragment, as it had been. And when we got in the studio, we both were going to play a lead portion and then play through the background, if you will, and I guess we hadn't heard either of our lead portions until that particular day in the studio. So
was that by design or just out that way?
Just happenstance, I think. We developed the song, but we just had said, okay, well, we'll work on that on our own, and we brought it, and it was like, wow, he just blew me away with what he'd written for that. It was so thoughtful and tasty, and I really liked it. So there you go.
So here we go. This is Gypsy Summer by the Paranormal Daves.
Thank you.
And that was Gypsy Summer. Really sweet song. I get what you were saying, Dave, about, or Dave Hussey, about Dave Gunter coming in and how it meshed together. That was really, really cool. And we have another song coming up, but anything else you want to say about your collaborative spirit that you found and how much fun it is? And what's coming up? What be next? You've done this. You're just going to keep going?
Another CD?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not?
We've already written each, I think, one new song for it. But
It has to be really fun and cool to be doing this.
Very fun. Just,
yeah.
It's a lot of fun. And some of the I think we mentioned the humanity, the human music. There are things that maybe on that song, that last song, you hear fingers sliding on strings, and you hear in one of the songs that
I had a creaky chair.
It was driving me nuts. So I purposefully left the creak in the chair in one of the songs. And on this next tune, a lot of times producers would edit out breathing on the flute, and I just left it in. So
sounds good. I really appreciate your coming in and sharing your stories and your funny stories and great ideas about collaboration and musical duos. And the fact that you put this together for people to hear and for your own fun times. It's really great to have you here on Between the Notes. If you're out there listening, you can hear this again by going to the KRFY website at krfy.org. And if you're a musician out there and you'd like to get on the show Between the Notes, I only do the show when somebody asks me to let them come on the show. So I'm happy to do that at any point in time. Just give us a call at 265-2992. And I want to just let you know that up next is the Norwester. It's Jack Peterson is host, and you can enjoy that bit of time. This song is Rising Sun Lullaby, and thank you so much, Dave and Dave, for coming in.
Thank you, Susie.
Thanks so much.
KRFY.